Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true. Hey, we have a very special guest this week. His name is Superfan James. Welcome, Superfan James.
Well, thank you for having me. I thought our sponsors were going to shit a chicken if we didn't get this episode together in time. It's been over a month.
We're very happy to have you. We thought you were dead.
Oh, I felt like I was dead for a while. yeah. I slept from about 8:30, 9 o'clock until I had to get up at 7 the next morning. So I slept for like a good 10 hours straight. I did not feel good.
So the rumors of your demise are greatly exaggerated. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, it is tweener season. Happy tweener season, everybody. Mm-hmm. And since it is tweener season, there's still time to provide your review, albeit late, of the Halloween episode. And we'll get to that here in a few minutes. The other stuff we're going to talk about, we have headlines today. Fear not. We are welcoming the return of headlines. I have three good ones. Also, we're going to...
There's always hope when there's headlines.
There's always hope when there's water and soap. There will also be a little discussion of the Carol Burnett reunion, if there's time. Beers of the 80s and current bingeable Netflix shows. All if we have time. We got a lot to get to. Let's jump right into it. How was your weekend, everybody? Let me try that again.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Paul? Here's what we're going to do. Here's how the conversation goes at work about this time of year. Okay. Hey, how's it going? Good. Got any plans for the weekend? No. Got your Christmas shopping done? No, far from it. I usually wait till the last minute. Oh, okay. Cool. You going to the pitch in? Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to bring, though. Maybe I'll probably just go to the Kroger and pick up some of those snack size pretzels or something. What are you going to do? I don't know. I thought I might bake some cookies or something. Who's bringing green bean casserole this year? Dude, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. It'll be good.
As long as somebody does.
Unless they try to make it some of that gourmet shit. Because then that's the only way you can fuck up green bean casserole is if you try to make it gourmet.
I'm even willing to forget a hair in my green bean casserole.
I don't even notice a hair.
It's all protein.
I was making some Free Willing Baptist chicken the other day, and there were still feathers in the damn drumstick. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't know I had to pluck my own damn chicken. This is getting ridiculous. I'm all for, you know, going Amish, you know, along that Amish spectrum, freewheeling, no hormones, no, you know, no acid rain, whatever, grass-fed, bug-fed chicken. I'm okay with that, but we're getting a little bit out of hand. I don't want to have to pluck my own chicken.
That's why we buy them, so we don't have to pluck them.
Right? Next thing you know, what are we going to be, Asia? We're going to eat fish with the head still on it? You'll see me driving down the middle of the street on a moped with like a chicken on the back and like 15 kids.
When you show up at my house pulling a rickshaw, with you know your wife will be in the back of the rickshaw, and I know it's too late.
Dude, you're killing yourself with those pre-plucked chickens. You gotta buy them with the feathers still on them, man, because You know, as soon as they pluck the feathers, they start to turn all corporate and GMO.
They go corporate.
Man.
They show up in little suits.
Monsanto wants the factory to pluck those chickens.
Have you ever plucked a chicken, though?
I tried once, yes.
Yeah,
gave
it's
up.
It's not fun. It's not. We did it when we were kids. It's not fun.
My mom was telling me this over Thanksgiving. She was talking about my dad and his experience as a chicken farmer when I was growing up. And she said she finally told him, because he was like, he was killing them, mm-hmm. and she was supposed to be plucking them and getting them ready to do whatever you do with them. And first of all, they were severely underfed, because the feed store told my dad to, when he got the chickens, they're like, oh, you give them a quarter cup a day of this feed. Well, that's when they were babies. So, like, as they got older, you're supposed to give them more, right?
Yeah. So,
these chickens are starving to death.
Like children.
Yeah, like children. We were still, at that time, drinking about a half a pint of milk a day, and that's it. No food. So, anyway, my mom was like, I finally told him, I am done. I am done doing these chickens. Ain't nothing I can do with them anyway, because they tough and they skinny. And they,
we used to raise chickens when we were kids, and we used to, you know, my uncle and my dad would lop the heads off. They'd fall into a tin bucket, and there'd be these little chicken heads in there with the little mouths just kind of, you know, gawking.
Mm-hmm.
And then their bodies would basically, because we were in the back of the house, and we had like the slight hill, you know, so these headless chicken bodies would be running around, falling down the hill. It was quite entertaining as a kid.
Oh yeah, my dad didn't bother lopping the heads off. He like spun them around. Yeah,
oh, he did the ring
their necks. Like he would sling them around like this, and then like the weight of the body would eventually detach the head. I'm sure that didn't hurt. Chickens don't have a sense of pain, right?
Well, that's why we have cockfights. They can't feel it.
Well, what's the point? I mean,
well, they fight till they die. I mean, they're like, hey, I'm doing all right. Clunk. They just fall.
I'm not even going to put my cock in the ring if I can't even feel anything.
if it's gonna be that kind of cockfight.
Oh, okay. That's enough of that. So now that I've demonstrated how you're supposed to answer the question, how was your weekend? Do you guys have anything to add to that? Or
I rode for like 16 hours in a car this weekend, not including the time that we had to stop.
Nice. That sounds like fun. Where'd you go?
I
just around and around in the neighborhood. We just kept going around and around the block. It's like, what do you mean? Where'd we go?
Parking lot. Somebody stop this crazy thing.
We made a surprise trip out to see my folks in Indiana.
Surprise to you or surprise to them?
Surprise to them.
Okay. What are we doing here?
Well, when they just drive around and eventually end up here.
We told my dad about 2 hours before we got there and told him to not tell my mom and to meet us at the local Walmart, because we didn't really know exactly where he lived, so we were able to surprise her. But it was also a surprise to us, because like I've been out of work due to a work related injury, and we realized that we could scrounge the money together, and we figured it out, and we just decided to rent a car and go visit my folks for a couple of days.
Nice.
Wait a second. Yes. You had a work related injury.
Oh, I did. Like I said,
I told Steve you had a vasectomy. Okay. I'm like, how did that happen at work?
Well, he is a butcher.
You need to change doctors.
The surgery was successful, but you are not going to be able to have any kids.
But can I still play piano? Well, not with your dick.
Man. Okay, well, that's fun. I'm glad you came to the land of plenty out here in the breadbasket of America, home of the vice president of, your Vice President of the United States. Thanks for coming. Okay, we're about 15 minutes into this thing. We're either going to move on, or Paul, you're going to tell us how your weekend was.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing stuff on weekends.
Well, it doesn't have to be the weekend. Plus, I didn't say what I did over the weekend. I just bullshitted for about 10 minutes.
Oh, I thought you mean the weekend like in general. I still didn't.
No, I just mean I'm trying to give you an opportunity to talk because Superfan James's criticism of the show is that I don't let you talk enough.
He's
here. I am giving you an opportunity.
He's right there
to talk.
He's literally right
and
there.
And you're not taking that opportunity.
He's literally right there.
So the next time he says, I don't let you talk enough, I will remind him that it's not about me letting you talk. It's like we got to fill 60 minutes here. Somebody's got to talk.
I want to hear that to the day I die.
Wait, what were we talking about?
It's going to be written in Steve's eulogy.
There's a lot of things you'll... the longer you hang with that, the more stuff you're never going to live down.
So. All right, here's what I want to know. We put our heart and soul into the Halloween episode like we do every year. And every year we look forward to the Superfan James review of the Halloween episode. We've been waiting.
That was his. That was the name of his band, the Superfan James Review.
Welcome, everybody. Put your hands together. Get up out your seats. Here it is, all the way from Connecticut or Pennsylvania or Indiana. Or somewhere, some damn where, it's the Superfan James Review. Here it is. Give it up. Kind of like that.
This is why I don't have to talk.
Okay, so anyway, so Halloween, we did our Halloween episode, and then all of November went by, and then we had Thanksgiving, and then...
The tweener season.
Tweener season. And we still haven't had our damn SFJ review. What do you got to do around this? What do you got to do up in this motherfucker to get a Superfan James review of the motherfucking Halloween episode? Motherfucker.
This was the time. This was the episode your mom decided to start listening.
Who are you kidding? She never misses an episode that I'm in.
We could always bleep that stuff out. We can put the cock in. So, without further delay, here it is. The glowing review from Superfan James of the latest Halloween episode. Take it away, James.
When I decided to listen to your episode, I took a moment to think about...
He decided, like, he wasn't sure he was going to listen to it.
Kind of winced a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I'll listen.
His fingers over the button.
I thought about it. I said, I need to, like, find the perfect place to... The scariest place I can find that I can get to readily and listen to this episode to really, like, help get into
bubble
the
bath.
Environment.
You picked the bathroom, didn't you?
Bubble bath... With candles, glass of red wine.
I would have thought of it in like a Speedway bathroom. Those are pretty terrifying.
Yeah, no, I loaded up my phone and I went to work. Because that was the scariest place I could think of. And you guys put it pretty well, though. Actually, before I get to that, I was listening to the music. And I was going to say something like, I was going to solely judge the whole episode on your choice of music and like... Because in your second episode, the second annual Halloween special, you played a song, Legend of the Woolly Swamp. And I still listen to that song to this day.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's a really good song. And based on just the music selection for the episode, the first song you played was okay, but the... Phantom 309 was it was based on that, the episode is perfect. It's amazing. Because I was listening to that, and like I still like when I'm like, oh, I want to listen to something on YouTube, like in the shower or something like that, I'll put it on because it was very, very good. But you in the episode you guys did.
Wait, you put us on while you're in the shower?
No, I just put on I put on the Phantom 309.
Oh, okay, because all right. I mean, you're welcome if that's the case. But
you guys put it pretty well. I did go to work and listen to it because I needed something to. I was by myself, and I needed to listen to something.
Working late at night.
But you guys put it very well. Me, personally, I wasn't really spooked by anything that was in it, but you guys were damn entertaining. Everyone that helped create that, I know A. William Wright, I really should have prepared. I know there was a couple others.
Not the William Wright.
That's right.
Not the William Wright. A. William Wright. Right. A will I am right.
Yes.
I really should have looked up the others.
You tell us what you liked and we'll tell you who did it. I did that.
Oh, yes. Your story was really.
And then you tell us what you didn't like and we'll make up somebody else.
Your story was really creepy.
Nothing creepier than like a little girl about to get. And the grandmother having to sleep with store owners to get some gas.
That part went unsaid. Yes, that, you know, that's the only thing that would have made that more disturbing.
The college one about the young man who killed himself, that I like that one.
That was a William Wright's story.
I was trying to remember the name of the young man in that one. I can't.
Jeff.
One of the things I really enjoyed about that one was partly, mainly was...
My voice.
You're like, hey, man, what are you doing? You're like, Bill and Ted showed up.
The one thing I really enjoyed about that story was the twist at the end where he kept seeing the white coat in his periphery and out in the distance, and it turned out to be his the late... sister.
Sato's sister.
Sato, that's... I should have known that. Yeah.
There's somebody behind you rolling around in the floor.
That's my bed.
It's his latest victim.
Yeah.
Your bed moves.
That's SFJW.
Does she have clothes on this time?
She's wearing negligee. What are you talking about? Super
fan. Yeah. She's wearing a onesie.
She has those fuzzy slippers.
Yeah, with the heels, but they got the big pom-pom in the front of them
exactly.
For whatever reason.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, who went, you know what? You know what would be sexy as hell is a fuzzy pair of slippers. Anyway.
But the downtime in that episode was very entertaining. The trunk or treat stories were very fun. We took our son trunk or treating almost exclusively this year. I think we only went real trick or treating once, but we took him trunk or treating three or four times in this past year. But overall, the music was excellent. Personally, I think in the right setting, if I were to do it properly, it would have been very spooky, very very creepy.
Drunk with headphones in the dark. Those are all the right circumstances.
For me, you guys weren't creepy or scary, but you guys were highly entertaining. I was very entertained.
Well, that's all. That's all. We can retire now. We're good. Good night, everybody.
Wait, I want to wait until my Social Security is, full. I want to get my full pension.
Oh, okay.
The Don't Panic Pension, the DPP.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't like where that's going.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
How many P's is that?
Three. Thanks for that honest review. And I call it honest because you said it was highly entertaining. And I believe you.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree. It wasn't necessarily spooky. I mean, there were a couple of things that harkened back to classic scariness of old. Like the... witches at the beginning was kind of like one of those classic creepy things. The Victor von Psychotron is always fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, I just thought that. I mean, okay, we're all adults here. You know what? We're not going to be scared per se. I mean, but we're going to be. But we want to be entertained. So I tried to entertain people. By picking and choosing which stories we're going to go together, and then all in all, I mean, I think it's our best show yet.
I would agree.
I think every show we do is our best show yet.
There's been a couple, though.
Couple of duds.
There's been a couple that have been, they've been work.
They always sound good after you get done editing them.
That's the work.
Yeah. He's going to have a fun time with this one.
What did you think of the Thanksgiving episode? That was pretty good. We did it. It aired about a week after Thanksgiving. And it was all about green bean casserole. Do you like green bean casserole? I know it's a silly question, but
I probably would enjoy it. I'm trying to remember the last time I've had it. I feel like my mom has made it when I was younger, and I used to eat it.
It would have been around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know.
It's like, I think I might have had eggnog. I don't know what time of year it was that I had eggnog. But.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, we got a mission.
I
want to
say it
now.
Was cold.
We have failed our young protege because he has not had green bean casserole that he can remember. Now we got to have the green bean casserole cook-off. And he'll be one of the judges because, you know, he comes in with a virgin palate.
Whatever venue we can hold this thing at is going to reek with cream of mushroom soup by the time we get done.
Yeah, but also mixed with bacon and those crispy onion things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so why don't we take a little break, and when we come back, we'll do our, in no particular order, we'll talk about Carol Burnett headlines, best of Netflix, and beers of the 80s.
Sounds like a plan.
Right on. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Food Bites. Let's search Campbell's holiday side dish recipes. Green bean casserole. Campbell's soup makes preparing your favorite holiday dishes simple. For delicious green bean casserole, mix together one can of Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, a half cup of milk, a teaspoon of soy sauce, a dash of black pepper, 4 cups of cooked cut green beans, and 2/3 of a cup of French's French fried onions in a 1.5-quart casserole dish. Bake the casserole at 350 degrees for 25 minutes. Stir, then sprinkle the top with another 2/3 of a cup of crispy French fried onions and return it to the oven for 5 more minutes. Now this creamy, satisfying dish is ready to go straight to your holiday table. Add some decorative themed touches around your dishes and your festive feast is complete. This Food Bite has been brought to you by Campbell's. Come home to a home-cooked meal. For more great holiday recipes and everyday meal ideas, visit campbellskitchen.com.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Superfan James is still here with us.
He's still holding on.
We earlier today asked for suggestions on what we should talk about. Paul Volstorf recommends best series options on Netflix right now. He says he's between shows and looking for something new. Apparently, he doesn't have Hulu. Or a jailbroken Amazon stick. So, I don't have anything right now. I tried to watch Vikings yesterday, and oh my God, it was all I could do to stay awake.
Really? I've heard very good things about it.
Have you watched it?
I haven't watched a full episode, but it's definitely a show that I'm interested in, and I've heard good things about.
Is it like Game of Thrones without tits and dragons?
It's on public access TV, so no.
I don't know anything about Game of Thrones, so I couldn't answer that question. What it is it's a bunch of dudes with funny haircuts and beards walking around like saying stuff to each other. There was one scene where there was some fighting and they poured some melted gold into some dude's mouth. That was kind of cool. But the rest of it was just a bunch of dudes. It was very homoerotic.
So it's like going into like your local vape shop.
Are you sure you didn't watch Game of Thrones?
Anyway, so Paul, what do you got? Netflix. What should we be watching?
There's a really good show on Netflix right now called Dark. It's made in Germany, but they do overdubs into English. So once you get past the fact that the voices are a little superimposed, this show is ridiculous. It's this small town in Germany near a nuclear power plant. It takes place in the present, but it backtracks to like 1986, back and forth and back and forth. And this weird, like supernatural, weird sci-fi event happens, and what it does is it brings out all these like secrets that these four families in this little town have. Season one is only 10 episodes long, which means all thriller, no filler. There's about halfway through season one, I was reading a review on it, and this dude described it perfectly. He goes, "Dark, hard to watch, hard to look away from." Imagine if David Lynch could actually direct a TV show that went somewhere, and imagine it being in Germany, and you have Dark. It's amazing how good it is. One of my fellow gamers recommended it, and I was hard up for something to watch, so I watched episode one, and I'm like, I swear to God, if this is just some kind of murder mystery thing, I'm gonna flip, because I wanted something with more to it. Got about halfway through episode one and went, ooh, okay, this is going to get good. And it's so good. I can't recommend it enough.
So I actually coincidentally ran across a headline talking about that when I was looking for headlines for this episode. I haven't seen it, but I found this one article somewhere that recommends watching the original German with English subtitles instead of, you know what I mean? Instead of the overdub thing. They're basically saying it flows better that way. But
you know, I know there's differences, and I'm not above or beneath. I'm not above or beneath watching subtitles. I like foreign films. Usually what I do is I'll watch...
I like porn too, but I think we're not talking about porn
yeah.
here.
No.
We can talk about that if you want.
I will most likely go back and actually watch it in German, because some of the dialogue is just silly. Because it's like, instead of like putting any kind of like... The English is so proper. And it's like, you guys didn't think for a second that maybe you could like slang it up a little bit. But maybe, I don't know, maybe that costs money in production or whatever. But I like to then go back and watch, you know, how it was originally done and follow it along. But as far as the dialogue goes, it doesn't seem to interfere with the plot any. It's just, yeah, I highly recommend it.
Dark.
Yep.
Superfan, you got one?
I got two. Went through my Netflix list, and there were only about two that were still on there. They're really only still on there because I'm waiting for more seasons to come out. But there's a bunch of shows that I want to see, and there's like shows that I've seen a couple episodes of and I really liked. But there's two that I've watched the entirety of, one I've on the final season that is currently on Netflix. The first one is I recommend it to everybody, especially fans of the Netflix original Orange is the New Black, because it's based in Australia. It's recorded there, and it's broadcast in Australia. And after the season airs, it eventually makes its way to Netflix. And it's called Wentworth. Wentworth. One word, Wentworth.
Fortunately, Don't Panic listeners can spell. So, but thank you for that anyway.
You know, I read an article just recently that if you watch it in the original Australian...
with English subtitles?
Yeah.
Shrimp on the Bobby.
You'd think they talk like that, but it's the grill. They're very understandable. They're very diverse cast. It is a very dark, gritty look at a woman's prison, where like Orange is the New Black, it's like, oh, like women's prison's easy. And then you look at this, where, spoiler alert, in the very first episode, the main character is sent to jail, and she tries killing herself because it is just that. She is like that, like, horrified with her experience there. But it's five season long, about 45 minutes an episode, so there's a ton to watch. It is gripping and is just incredible.
Wentworth.
You know, you would think, we're talking Australia. Now, everything that draws breath on Australia is designed to kill you. You would think prison would be the one safe place you could go where no spiders the size of, like, you know, basketball hoops are going to come after you. You know, you'd think you'd be safe in a women's prison in Australia.
Well, you're safe from that, but there are more animals in the in the kingdom than just spiders.
That's like a front of that, dude. That's like a quote for your book.
Yeah.
I can't hear the word prison without just imagining dark things.
I don't think it's a cakewalk. I'm pretty sure it's not summer camp. Well.
The second show that I would recommend, my wife and I currently watch it. We're on the fourth season. There's a fifth season that's supposed to air here in the United States soon. It's called The 100.
Heard of it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They
actually made more than one season?
They made four.
Wow.
And they're working on a fifth.
Huh.
The first season was called The 25. The second one was called The 50. Well, you get it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
It's a show. Okay, so it's about an alternate future where due to nuclear war, the planet has been deemed, due to nuclear war, it's not safe to live on Earth. So shortly before this happened, they sent a little over 1,000, maybe 1,000 to 2,000 people into space in all these different space stations as a countermeasure to the extinction of humanity. So nuclear bombs fall, kills everything on Earth, or so they believe, and they live in space. And then the 12 colonies form together to make the Ark, and people live on these 1,000 to 2,000 people live on the Ark.
No moral message there at all. It's not even.
Yeah, they realize that the Ark is failing. They were to be able to survive on the Ark for over 100 years, but due
it's been
to
40 days and 40 light years on the Ark.
Due to an oversight, they're like a few years short of 100 years. They believe that after 100 years, that Earth would become habitable again. So they have detained anyone under the age of 18 that commits a crime gets sent to prison. Anyone over 18,
them with the prison.
I'm something
that that commits a crime is executed due. They get jettisoned into space and die. So they take 100 youths in prison and send them to the ground to see if if Earth is inhabitable.
Yeah. This isn't new, right?
No, they're in season 4, so they've been around a while.
I think it's
based on like a young adult series.
Yes,
or something.
It is based on a novel.
Atticus loved it. He's watched it before. He loves it. The 100.
It's called The 100.
The 100. All right, check it out. So The 100, Wentworth, Darkness. That should be enough to get you to Stranger Things 3.
I've yet to watch the Stranger Things. I want to. It's on the list, but
we already spoiled it for you, so don't.
I know. You said like, "Oh, here it is, the Stranger Thing episode." And I'm like, delete. I'm not watching. I'm not listening to that.
He told me he hasn't watched it yet and hasn't listened either. So,
well, you better hurry up, man. There's some good stuff in there. All right. Another one for Paul Volsdorf, Beers of the 80s. You know what? This one's not going to take very long because there weren't very many. There was Fall City, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Spuds McKenzie, Every Goddamn Thing Ice, Milwaukee's Best, which was America's Worst.
Yes.
Oh, you know what we used to do in college? When we had a little extra money, we would always get kegs, right? Because kegs, you do the math. We were engineers. We did the math, and per beer, it was cheaper to get a keg, right? Mm-hmm. But when we had a little, we'd always get a keg of like Keystone Light because that was like the cheapest. But when we had a little extra money, we'd get Michelob. You're like, hey, it's Michelob, man. Better.
Yeah. You felt like you had something when you had Michelob. You know,
at our age, the age we were in the 80s, it's like, what's the point? It's like, does it have alcohol in it? Yes. Okay. Right? Like, are there any, James, you can tell us this. Are there any people under the age of 23 right now who are real concerned about making sure they get the IPA or the best, you know, craft brew or whatever? Or are they all just going, does it have alcohol in it? Good. I'll have one.
They're selective. I think they're selective on certain, they won't drink certain things, but pretty much, they're just like, if it has alcohol in it, I'll drink it. They're not snobs as so much as like, they'll look down like, oh, like, I only drink Guinness, or...
feel free to just say, you're right, Steve, and then we can move on. Thank you. All right. Carol Burnett Show. The Carol Burnett Show ran, I think, from the late 60s for about 10 years. Like, maybe 67 through about 77.
78 was the last episode.
Okay, so like 68 to 78. Carol Burnett, for her time, was one of the funniest ladies on the planet. Lucille Ball, for her time, was the funniest lady on the planet.
Carol Burnett makes Lucille Ball look sick. Carol Burnett was so damn funny. I never understood the appeal of I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball, any of that. But Carol Burnett, made Lucille Ball look sick as far as comedy goes.
Right, next week's episode will be Paul and I arguing over Lucille Ball. But we don't have to get into that right now. We can get into it next week if you want.
That's fine.
I like both. And we don't have to turn this into a who's better, because they were in different eras.
Well,
Lucille Ball came
but
before.
Lucy blazed
a trail.
Yeah, Lucille, don't get me wrong. Yeah, she blazed the trail. But
if it weren't
Lucy
for Lucille Ball,
in...
there would be no Carol Burnett.
Well, you can't say that. You don't know.
I just did.
But what you just did. But what, okay, what I will give, yes, okay, Lucille Ball, trailblazer. But Lucille Ball's thing was the Seinfeld thing. Everybody else on that show was 10 times funnier than Lucy was.
What?
Even Ricky, who could barely speak English, was funnier than Lucy. Yeah, Fred Mertz, are you kidding me? Every time he came into the room, he stole every scene he was in.
Now I'm just getting mad. Now you're just making me mad.
This is the last episode of the Don't Panic Radio Show, folks.
What do you think, James? Who do you think? Do you think Lucille Ball is funny?
I haven't seen much, but I wasn't impressed.
See? He hasn't seen much, but he was impressed.
Was not impressed.
Not impressed.
I haven't seen much, but I wasn't impressed.
What did you see? What do you mean you haven't seen much? What?
I've seen like the, you know, the iconic candy conveyor belt scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I laugh every time I think about that scene.
Because don't go over and pull the lever to stop the conveyor belt. Just keep eating.
Dude, these were housewives who were in a factory. They were out of their element, and they were trying to do the best they could, all right? They weren't familiar with the machine like a man would be in those days. So pulling the lever didn't occur to them, but they were doing the best they could, and it became hilarious.
Did you ever see the Family Guy episode where they're watching like I Love Lucy, and you know, of course you don't see the TV, you see them sitting on the couch, and it's like she's like, Ricky, I want to be on the show, and of course Ricky's like, no, you can't be on the show, but Ricky, and then you hear like, and then she cries, wah, and Fred's like, gee, you hit her pretty hard there, Rick. That was the 50s.
That's funny. Well, I'll tell you what. If it weren't for Conway, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, where would Carol Burnett be?
She'd still be
Every
Carol
time
Burnett,
Tim maybe. Conway stepped foot on that stage, he stole the scene, man.
For me, it was Harvey Korman, but yeah.
Mrs. Wiggins.
But Mrs. Wiggins.
Look, I didn't want to turn this into a who's better, Carol Burnett or Lucille Ball, but you don't, you know, you could talk about how good Carol Burnett is without dissing Lucille Ball. You do realize that, right?
Well, but, okay. I didn't realize I was dissing her.
What?
I thought I was just giving my opinion. I thought I was just giving my opinion.
You said, and I quote, could you read back the tape from, could you read back from about 10 minutes ago, please? Yes. Mr. Vincent, Carol Burnett was the best of her time, and Lucille Ball was the best of her time. Mr. Schultz, Carol Burnett made Lucille Ball look sick.
Okay, maybe that wasn't
Superfan James, I've seen it, and I was not impressed. All right, so what part of not dissing? I mean, I'm missing something here. I would hate to hear if you actually did diss Lucille Ball.
Okay. let's just agree to disagree until next week.
I disagree to disagree. No. Anyway, so there's a reunion, and there were some articles about it. All right. Do we have time for headlines? I think... See, I think you dissing Lucille Ball has run us out of time for doing headlines.
Those weren't the headlines?
Where's the sport? My brother and I used to watch Lucille Ball.
Well, I think what it is for me, the difference between I Love Lucy and Lucy Show versus Carol Burnett is Carol Burnett was a variety show where it wasn't always like the same cast of characters every week. Yeah, they had reoccurring characters like Mrs. Wiggins and
Mama's Family.
Like the Mama's Family stuff. Yeah, which I did not like, and I couldn't stand the show when it came out. But whereas Lucille Ball felt for me was riding the coattails of the Honeymooners, wherein in the Honeymooners, you know, Ralph had some harebrained scheme. It would go awry. In the end, Alice was setting straight. Now, in Lucille Ball, which was after the Honeymooners, she'd have some harebrained scheme. All her friends, which was one because she was intolerable, so she had one friend, but always warn her, don't do it. She'd do it, get in trouble, and somehow Ricky, I guess maybe he needed the green card. I don't know why, but he stayed married to her. All that I would have divorced her after like the third harebrained thing she did. I would have divorced her, but then he would have gone back to Cuba, and you know, maybe that's just me.
You just keep talking.
But I will give you that.
You keep talking.
I will give you that. I am.
You keep talking.
I will give you that. Her supporting cast nailed it every time. Every single one of them. And when she went to Hollywood, those were great episodes. I love the Hollywood episodes. Don't get me wrong. Because all the different people that she met, like when she sets her nose on fire, you know, because she gets an Amber by William Holden and all that. I'll give you those. But, and of course, we can't neglect Mr. Mooney. You know, he was cool. But I never understood the appeal of Lucille Ball.
All right. Well, I mean, some people get good comedy and some don't. That's okay. I don't. I'm not holding it against you. You know, you've been my friend a long time. It would take more than your misunderstanding of good comedy to get in the way of our friendship. So that's okay. And I give Superfan James a pass because he's young and he's only seen one episode. So
Superfan James right now is like the kid whose parents are fighting. he's a little bit scared.
Go to your room.
He's trying to figure out how to fake an illness to bring us back together.
Why does Dad smell like whiskey and insecurity?
And failure.
The only thing I can think of is like, I was like, I'll dive in front of Paul. Like, I don't like Talladega Nights.
Yeah, he can't get into Talladega Nights, so.
What?
But I forgive him.
I see.
All right, finally, the attention is off of me. Yeah, what the hell, James? What the hell?
So you're going to be on... okay, whatever.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
I don't know where the hell I got these, but I'm going to just read them. Headlines. Workers earning less of the national income than in the 80s. I picked this one because it's a perfect headline for what we do here, which is headlines rarely make sense, and they leave and the person that wrote the article is probably like, what? Your headline has nothing to do with my article. But what I was trying to figure out is, what does that mean? It means that apparently people who work earn less as a share of total income in America than they did in the 80s.
I think they're just running out of shit to talk about.
That sounds good. Next one is Pamela Anderson, 50, is at her seductive best as she displays her age-defying figure in lilac negligee.
That's not really fair because I'm older than some of her body parts.
That's true. I had to think about that for a second. I'd do a little math and a couple of logic equations. you know, in my head. A couple of Boolean operations. And I was like, oh, yeah, I get what he's saying. Well, a couple. You know who she is, though, right?
Oh, I know who Pamela is. Yeah. She was in Baywatch.
He knows what Baywatch is. He doesn't know what.
I'm actually really mad about that. First, like, because my parents used to watch the Andy Griffith Show, Leave It to Beaver, all these shows, and they've never once watched the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh man, go to your local library. you have to watch. You know, you have to.
Yeah, go to your local library. Don't pull up YouTube. Go to your library and go to the section where you can check out VHS tapes. And Go to your library and go to where you can get those reel-to-reel
dude
things in the canisters. And then check out one of their projectors.
If they have Perfect Strangers on DVD, they goddamn better well have Carol Burnett on DVD.
But it won't be on YouTube.
So, yeah. Or just subscribe to, like, PBS or whatever and get, like, a best of. I'm sure they've got one.
Or YouTube. All right. Pamela Anderson's 50. She's 2 years older than me. I didn't know that. I thought she was maybe younger than me for some reason. By the way, we're gonna have to start planning our 50th birthdays.
Yeah, we need to do something for that.
That's coming up quick, man. We're gonna be 50 pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I never understood the Pamela Anderson appeal, even when she was like, you know, first in Playboy and like 19 years old or whatever. I never understood why I felt like I was missing a joke. Like the whole, you know, all of America, every guy thought she was the shit. And I was like, okay, so she's blonde. She's got fake boobs. Okay. She's just like every other blonde with fake boobs. But okay. I never understood it.
Oh, I think what it really was like, Baywatch. I don't know if she showed in if she was on Playboy before she was in Baywatch, but I think a lot of that had to do with a lot of it with like the with the sexualization of her and why like men.
Well, yeah, but there were so many other hotter chicks on Baywatch than Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, for some reason, like people, the media thinks. I shouldn't say media, but
you should say the mainstream.
Yeah, the mainstream media stereotype.
The fake news
is this like blonde and busty is what what every hot-blooded American likes. But and I think that's why it was like put.
Some of us like a little ass. All right, Steve. I think we're done. Save us.
Maybe you should go watch BET.
Yeah.
maybe that's your cup of tea.
Oh. Oh, I do.
Don't think I don't.
Who do you think you're talking to?
How do you feel about Carmen Electra?
About the same.
Yeah, so I think there was this caricature of hot, you know, hot bombshell in the late 80s and 90s. And,
yep.
You know, it's not that I think they're ugly or not that I think they're unappealing. It's just when I look, I go, it's kind of like Barbie, you know? And I don't mean your ex. I mean the doll. It's like...
Thank you.
It's sort of like I don't even want to say idealized because it's not ideal. It's just a caricature. It's like some...
Mm-hmm.
It's like... you know, Backstreet Boys. It's like it's like Britney Spears. It's like some producer goes, here, what we need is the perfect hot bod, looks good in a swimsuit girl. And they go, all right, well, the boobs have to be this size, and the hips have to be this size, and the hair has to be this color. And,
is this before or after the producer gets him on the casting couch?
Yeah.
Well, who's the producer? Is it Harvey Weinstein? Hey, I just want to say one thing before we sign off. I want to say one thing about this recent, the recent tsunami of accusations of sexual harassment. Charlie Sheen has not been accused of sexual harassment. Okay.
Did they just run out of? I mean, we all know about his. You know, I don't know. That's true, though.
I think that's the thing. He's unapologetically slutty, and he's just like, I like sex. I like sex with lots of different people, and if you come into contact with me, there's a good chance some sex is going to occur.
Gonna have sex with you too now.
That's right. Male, female, transgender, cisgender, don't give a shit, gender. And he's authentic. He just puts himself out there. So if a woman or a man or a cis, trans, whatever comes forward and says, Charlie Sheen groped me during a photo shoot, we'd be like, what'd you expect?
That's all he did, you know. What do you want? A button,
right? As opposed,
Charlie Sheen, you know, groped me, and all I got is his t-shirt.
Yeah. So I think part of what we're seeing, and the reason it makes the news and everybody loves talking about it, is the holier than thou, like fake, like, oh, the fake outrage every time something happens. Oh, I'm outraged. It's like, come on. You know, you're doing it. Of course, this whole thing has got me going, let me see. No, I don't think I have. I don't think anything's going to come. Next thing you know, TMZ is going, man who nobody knows in Indianapolis accused of groping someone.
Do you know how much that would help our ratings? Maybe you should not. Maybe you should just not grope women more often.
Maybe I should run out and start groping. Maybe I'm not doing enough.
Well, you could be accused of not groping women.
Don't panic, radio show host who claims to have groped millions of women. Turns out he's not groped a damn one of them. Wife quoted as saying, "I wouldn't mind a little grope now and then. He's always tired."
Wife reported to say, I would slap the shit out of him.
I was thinking about that. You know, and I think we talked about this once. What would stop this whole damn thing? And I'm not trying to. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting into victim blaming here. But you never,
right?
Black women never come forward and say there were unwanted sexual advances toward me, and I felt uncomfortable, and I didn't. He was in a position of power, and I didn't say anything immediately. No, black women never do that, because black women will tell you immediately, right? They'll just be like, what are you doing? What the fuck? Get your hand off of my... All right. Well, thanks, Superfan James, for joining us this week and giving us your review.
Well, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. I had a lot of fun, and I'm glad that we were finally able to get this episode out there.
I'm glad too. Thank your wife for us as well.
Yeah, she. Yeah. These episodes don't happen without her support.
Yeah, and don't worry. Dad and Dad have stopped fighting for now.
So your dad and dad, my two dads, were fighting. All right. I'll tell you what. Go on over to don'tpanicradioshow.com. Check out all the past episodes. It'll also give you the links to the YouTube, which is pretty interesting if you're into that sort of thing. So for...
Visual Easter eggs abound.
That's right. For Superfan James, for Paul Schultz, and for all of our listeners, all of our fans, I'm Steve Benson, and nothing just heard was true.
He was on his way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone, and he thought he'd stop at Webb's and have him a drink before he went home to her. Andy Wolo said hello, and he said, hi, what's doing, whoa? Said, sit down, I've got some bad news, it's gonna hurt.
said, I'm your best friend, and you know that's right. But your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy, Seth. Well, he got mad and he saw red. And Andy said, boy, don't you lose your head. Cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they harmed an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands. Well, Andy got scared and left the bar, walking on home cause he didn't live far. See, Andy didn't have many friends and he just lost him one. Brother thought his wife must have left town, so he went home and finally found the only thing Papa had left him, and that was a gun. But he went off to Andy's house, slipping through the backwoods quiet as a mouse. Came upon some tracks too small for Andy to make. He looked through the screen at the back porch door, and he saw Andy lying on the floor in a puddle of blood. And he started to shake. Well, the Georgia patrol wasn't making their rounds, so he fired a shot just to flag them down. And a big belly sheriff grabbed his gun and said, why'd you do it? And the judge said guilty in a make-believe trial. Slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile. Said, supper's waiting at home and I gotta get to it. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they haunted an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands. Well, they hung my brother before I could say the tracks he saw while on his way to Andy's house and back that night were mine. His cheap wife had never left town. That's one body that'll never be found. See, little sister don't miss when she aims her gun. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Oh, oh, oh. That's the night that they haunted an innocent man. Uh-huh. Oh, don't trust your soul and all backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town.